Yeah, we are live, and it's in 4K, everybody. How's it going? The Suns won. I can't believe this shit. What the hell, dude? After last pod, I swear we had this. The season was over. I was like, there's no way. I don't want them to make the play-in. They don't deserve it. But they come out. They destroy the Jamal Murray-less Denver Nuggets, 104-97. It wasn't as close as it looks, right? Because you, what was it? What was the over-under? 9.5, Jake? Thanks, Fallen Founder, for joining us live on the pod tonight to take John's place.
They certainly did favor the Nuggets, even with I think they had – I feel like Vegas would have known that Murray was not going to be playing, and they just probably thought, hey, no Nurkic, so Suns usually lose, and we were able to actually outcompete. We seem to have the Nuggets number this season a little bit. Glad to see we have somebody's number.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Without Jokic, we probably didn't think it was going to be much of a game, but then when I saw Jamal Murray's out, I'm like, you know what, there might be a chance here, and the way the Suns play defense – the way they handle the boards, we'll get into it, obviously. And tonight, because John's not here, he always mentions how I always have a drink. I do tonight when he's not on the pod. So sorry, John, if you're watching. A glass of wine. Where'd this come from? What do you got, Jake?
Yeah, nice Sam Adams Boston Lager. Yeah. It's remastered.
Oh, that actually looks delicious. In a can?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that. I've seen bottles. I didn't know it cans. Okay.
It's moving,
I've been
it's
out of the game for a while. I'm in the wine game, I guess. That's why. Anyways, like, subscribe, rate, review, 5-star review. We'll read your comment here on the podcast. Everybody, let's have some fun. The Suns fucking won. Let's get this part started. That's not a count. .104-97. What the hell's going on? Well, let me actually ask you my first question. I didn't even wait for you to pop it open, did I?
That's all right.
I apologize. Should we restart it? No? Okay.
I'm so used to on Suns Planet. We have about a minute and a half intro video. So,
you guys,
I can really sit back and let the drink breathe a little.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at that. But I'm not used to having a drink. I am a little tipsy tonight probably. So might be all over the place. Might have some hate comments after this pod again. So I'm excited for that. But first, let me ask my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
How did they do it, Jake? How did they win?
Just say, please don't ask me to explain this.
It's the most obvious one. It's like, how did they? No, I'm not gonna ask that. But if I were to tell you that Devin Booker and Bradley Beal both had 27 points combined entering this game, did you think we would have a chance to win? Is that something that you would have thought was plausible with that amount of score between those two?
No. You know, usually what the big three were expecting at least what? 75 points, I'd say, from them at a minimum. And granted, Durant did have 30. So, I mean, he did a little extra lifting tonight. But, yeah, Booker, 17, Beal, 10. I feel like the team is still trying to figure out how they want to go about playing each game. And maybe they're just showing us that they can win in a variety of ways with this one. But it's just, you know, you would think just take care of the teams like the Spurs. and then that way you don't have to sweat it when Malone decides to leave his starting lineup in with 90 seconds left, because he says, oh, an 11-point lead, I bet you the Suns might lose this still. And so, like, that's got to kind of start to psychologically get to the Suns a little bit. But they obviously took care of business, held the line, and got out of there with the win. And, you know, yeah, there was no Murray, but a win's a win at this point. And with 10 games left, we're going to want every single one we can get. So I applaud these higher seeded teams resting their players towards the end of this season. You know, they've had a long season. It's time for them to get ready for the playoffs as much as they can.
Yeah. And you know what? The Nuggets are really, like, I think Jokic actually sent out a text to his teammates saying, we're going to get the number one seed. This happened about a month ago. So now they are the number one seed, obviously sitting there at 51-21, but the Timberwolves are behind them. The Thunder third right now at 50-22. So it's possible that they can bounce out of that. I don't think it has anything to do with, like, we don't want to play the Lakers. We don't want to play the Warriors, even though I'm not scared of the Warriors. Excuse me. But I do think that this team is trying to obviously go out there and win every game. But some nights off might happen. Just like the Suns, and I want to get your take really quick on Bradley Beal's comments about how he's just like, yeah, Victor wasn't playing, Wimby wasn't playing, so we kind of just thought we would win. We thought it would be an easy win, and it wasn't. So his, like, his reactions after post games are so, like, they're so real. They're so authentic. Do you want to hear that? Or do you think he kind of put that out there to say, like, he's calling out his own teammates? Like, he kind of planted that. Obviously, we're pissed. We're like, no, if you're going to think that, like, this late into the season, why would we believe in this team to win any crucial games? But maybe he did put that out there to maybe get the Suns going, because obviously tonight the defense was great. But I don't know, your thoughts on those comments. How did they make you feel? How did they rub you? The wrong way or the right way?
Oh, well, the comments rubbed me the right way. And to answer Boyd's question in the chat, it's an 11. But I would probably just state that, you know, this is a team that, well, like when Bradley Beal says this stuff, he speaks a language that the fans, myself, I want to hear. Because I'm sorry, the Booker and the Durant responses to, like I caught just the very first question, like, oh, why is it sometimes you guys are able to, you know, turn it on or turn it off? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm just like, that's about the realest answer I've ever heard from Durant. Cause usually it's like, you don't get an opinion. We go out there and we ball, and we just ball. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's like, and Beal sitting there saying, we should have beaten the Spurs. I'm sorry. Yes. We didn't. Yeah. Like that is like, he's like an honest politician right now. Like it's a rare breed. Yep. And it's great to see, because I think he sees the frustration in the fans. And so, yeah, maybe it is a subtle shot across the board, and not a shot, but just like, guys, focus. Like, these are the ones that it would be great if we're still hashing out the Spurs game. But, you know, those are the games that it would be great. The starters could be done in 28 minutes instead of having to try and hold that thing together. So, you know, obviously we dropped that one. We picked it up. But honestly, I'm going to need to see more of this moving forward. We can't just move right into a Thunder game and be like, ah, well, they're a good team. Like, okay, now beat a few good teams in a row, and
yes,
now you're going to start to win me back a little bit, because that Spurs one, that one hit deep. That was a painful one to watch.
Yeah, even though they had the shot at the end to win it, it just, you know, even if they would have won it, no, it would have been nice. They were so close to winning it, but we forgot about that one. I forgot about that one because we were led by this guy to really take over defensively and offensively when we needed it the most.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. I know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
30 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists. He had the 8 turnovers, but he had 5 blocks. You like how we win and I skip over the 8 turnovers?
What's funny? I had to look back at his stat line because you're like, oh, thanks to this guy. And I'm like, are we sure we want to thank Kevin? And then I was like, okay, yeah, because Booker 5 for 17, Beal 3 for 11. Where was the offense going to come from? Durant 12 for 20. But yeah, the 8 turnovers, man. Like
it's bad.
Starting, you know what's hilarious?
Yes.
Having DeAndre Ayton not on this team now puts the spotlight on Durant and watching him get stripped so often in a game, you know, 3, 4, 5. I mean, when it rains, it pours for this man on turnovers, and it seems to, and he just, you can't, it's so frustrating. I know I hope he's not going to be like this in the playoffs where he gets stripped. And he just looks at the ref like, you're going to call that? Like, no, man, guess what? Get back and get one of those 5 blocks that all of a sudden it's like, I don't know why you haven't been playing defense like that your whole career, because you're good at it. Play it. Like, that's what we need from Durant right now, especially with Nurk. You know, resting that ankle. So great defensive performance by Durant. Maybe we got to move the ball around a little bit more though, that 8 turnovers.
I know. And it's disappointing, but I think it kind of overlooks, his blocks, his defense really kind of overlooked that. He just made big plays off on the defensive end, but also just his shot was looking pretty good tonight. I know the one frustrating thing is him getting back, and there's a nitpicking thing, and it's frustrating in a game like this. I think our defense obviously is going to hold their own. And the last few wins, like we held the team under, all right, so 106 against the Spurs and their win, Atlanta Hawks, 115, 102 to the Sixers, and then 96 against the Hornets, 111 back against the Cavaliers. So we're kind of getting to the point where our team is really more focused defensively in really critical games. And that's huge to see, because obviously we know our offense is going to show. It's going to show. And I think definitely Beal and Booker they had some good looks. Beal has the injury. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But they had some good looks and they missed some shots that really kind of, I feel like, just end this game early, right? I think Book had some big shots early that he missed that I was like, oh, that's good. Oh, no, it wasn't. But Durant tonight, I just thought it was a really special game for him. I think the fact that he had those turnovers, I'm not really too pissed about it tonight. Obviously, it's a win. But his defense was just so, I thought it was just incredible tonight. In a game when you're not, when you don't have Nurkic, in a game where you're just like, who the hell is going to step up, right? I think it's obviously, it's going to be Thaddeus Young, right? Did you think they're coming in this game? The minutes he got, you're like, and that's the one question. It's like, where was he the whole time? Because obviously tonight, Thaddeus Young was fucking great. I mean, what did you think of him tonight?
Thaddeus Young, wow, we pulled him out of the dustbin and all of a sudden, like, yeah, very productive. 9 rebounds. He had 6 points, but the 3 of 4 shooting, I mean, it looked effective. He just took it to the basket and put the ball in the hoop. And, you know, he played good defense too. I thought, like, him and Drew Eubanks both, I thought, were competitive on defense. They were good at staying with their man a lot. Not a tremendous amount of fouls, 1 for each of those guys. And Thad was getting a lot of minutes, 17 minutes. Drew got 27. And, you know, when you're going up against the probable MVP and a multi-time MVP at that, you're just hanging on for dear life. And I think they did a decent job of, you know, making things a little bit more difficult for him. But, yeah, no, Thad Young, hey, it was quality game for him.
I think it eased the minds of a lot of Suns fans when you have Nurk out, and this is, I think, the 6th game he hasn't finished. I think he hasn't finished 2 games, and he's been hurt for like 4 games this year. But, you know, that was a big thing because we're like 0 for 5. We are 0 for 5 when Nurkic does not finish a game for the Suns. Mm-hmm. So with him being out, you know, I'm like, okay, it's over. But then obviously I said earlier on when Jamal Murray's missing, I'm like, okay, well, they don't have one of their pieces because Nurk is such a big part of this offense. But obviously against Jokic, he does a decent job, but that I thought was really doing a good job. Like you said, bodying up. He had a lot of help defense. And that was like the one thing the Suns team was doing is really moving around defensively. Like they were nonstop getting to their guys. That was huge because Jokic obviously is always going to find his guy. He's always going to find the cutter, but they made it a little bit more difficult for him and just made him more frustrated, right? Towards the end of the game, it's like he was just frustrated as all hell, yelling at the refs over everything. And then subreddit stakeout. This is the way it always is, though. Fans are always just pissed off about the refs, no matter what. But obviously tonight, they're like, Jokic didn't get any calls. The Suns were getting every call. I mean, did you see anything with the officiating tonight? I didn't notice. I'm sick of all the complaining and shit. But you can see if this is a series in the playoffs, it's going to get hot and heavy. Hashtag hot and heavy. That should be the playoff motto this year.
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly going to be heavy. It's because we're going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting coming from a lower seed. But from the ref's perspective, I didn't think anything was egregious. You know, they kind of talked about that on the ESPN broadcast about how they like that they're not calling the ticky-tack fouls and they won't be doing that in the playoffs. So get ready for it. I will say that Joker half-court shot that they initially called a shooting foul. like, I'm sorry, Nuggets fans. Like, you guys got to admit that was a smart call by the refs to reverse that. But that initial call, like, clearly, thank God we still had a challenge left. Because that could have absolutely shifted things if apparently they can just start chucking it from half court and getting, three attempts at the line.
Yeah, I think that we all get frustrated with the refs and stuff, but the flopping, and I think John talks about it all the time. Excuse me, I have to clear my throat. He talks about it all the time where he's such a big flailer, and I'm so glad they didn't call that shit all the time. Because that's the thing. That's the way that I feel like the Nuggets get back in the games is when he starts to get those calls and slow down the game. And then, you know, everyone just kind of gets frustrated on our side. And you just didn't want that. And the rest didn't kind of feed into that. But we'll talk about Devin Booker now. It was a hard watch, I feel like, for him tonight.
Big Dick Booker.
Shooting wise, tough.
This is such a weird game because
it was
Kevin Durant, you saved us with 8 turnovers. Devin Booker, rough game shooting wise because 5 rebounds, 9 assists, I feel like is a solid performance from him. 17, he still got 17 points, perfect at the line, 2 for 6 from 3, but. Yeah, you do expect I would still say Booker's our best player, and I would still expect him to shoot better most nights. But he, you know, KCP is one of the most underrated perimeter defenders, I think. Oh, yeah. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and I remember watching him when he was on the Lakers team that I think they won in the bubble with him. And then he went to the Nuggets and won there with them. And so he's a quality defender, and he makes it tough on Book, that's for sure.
Yeah, you kind of saw Book earlier on, like he was kind of moving the ball really well, but he was just so active, right? I mean, he was just nonstop moving, even on defense. The thing is, so you kind of hear on Twitter, you read about it, how, you know, this team is going to be heavy on Book finishing games. And they're going to look at him as to be our number one, right? Finishing games. So how do you feel about him being the number one? I've been all for it this year. I think Kevin Durant's obviously a legend. We talk about it all the time, how great he is. But I want this team to start and end with Book. Obviously, it wasn't the best first quarter for him, but he did kind of get the offense moving with moving the ball around. Like, he had the 9 assists. His shot wasn't falling, but I still trust him. Those shots in the release looked so good tonight. It just was not falling for him. So I really don't know what that is, but do you take him as a number one though for this team for sure?
I mean, if there has to be a default number one, yes, I would probably want the ball in Book's hands, because I think he's going to be able to handle the decision on whether or not to pass it to the open shooter or make the basket a little bit better than Durant. If it's one jump shot to win the game, I think I'm going to Durant. But if it's somebody to run the final play, If that difference kind of makes it sense. But I think Booker can make the smarter play right now. But the strength of this team is the big three, and it doesn't matter who you're going to switch on. It should be based on matchup. So who's ever got the weakest matchup for the big three, I think should be the guy really getting that final opportunity. That's what our strength is right now, and how productive the big three is, which I think I read was it on Yahoo this morning, that the Suns' big three, when they're together, are actually the highest scoring group out there. They're like 2 points better than the Boston Celtics, which they lead the NBA with the number one offense. But, of course, we don't see them that often. They haven't played a ton of games together still. But from a scoring rate, they're absolutely phenomenal. So I think that's what's the strength, is any one of these guys can be the number one, and that's – pick your poison. If you're going to put your best defender on Durant, that's fine. We just beat you in two other ways. But they're still figuring it out, and that's what's maddening for all of us Suns fans.
Yeah, they are. But the thing is like in these games, especially this game, they played so hard defensively where it was just all out. And it's kind of like, it's one of those things where I'm watching it and I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, well, don't go too hard. Like, I'm kind of scared for you to kind of get hurt. Like, I don't know what my problem is. Obviously, I want them to play hard. Then I get a little nervous. I'm like, well, are they expending too much energy in this game? You know what I mean? Like, because I'm not used to it this year. There's been so many games where they just have not played at this tempo on defense, where they're all out. And a good question right here. John Tran, is there a happy medium between headband and no headband Book? Maybe a pink thong. Terrible question. Kip says ankle bands. I don't even know when he's wearing one or not. I can never pay attention to that for some reason. But yeah, so you said jump shot, you want KD to shoot that. What about a 3-point shot? Who do you want to take the 3-point shot? Like against the Spurs, what would have been to win that game? Who did you want? They look like they're going to go in. It was KD, then Book, right?
I'd say clutch three to win the game under pressure, Book. Corner three to win the game on a pass and shoot, Durant.
Or...
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
Obviously, you only have the 13 points. Only the 13 points. Like, is that disappointing to you? Because, I mean, it's not disappointing, obviously, because we got so much from this year already. But the 13 points, he was 5 for 10 from the field, but 3 for 7 from the 3-point line. Is it just disappointing to see 13, or is that good enough? I feel like that's good. It was like a good game by him. It was enough. And I wanted to bring up too, like the offseason's coming up, obviously, after the playoffs. Wow, that's good. Good job, Matthew. Good analysis right there. Here, cheers. Cheers to that. So you got the season, you got the regular season, I can't even do it now. I've had a little too much to drink. Not going to lie.
Terrible.
Thanks for joining, Jake. Yeah, terrible. See, I should have had that ready to go. Here we go.
Terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going. Terrible. Take a lap.
But yeah, I mean, the offseason's coming up, and he is a great shooter, probably the best in the NBA right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is he someone you want to come back? Is he worth the money? I mean, I think he's a smart basketball player, but I think in this 10-game stretch, including tonight, you'll see a lot of what we can expect, obviously, in playoff-type atmospheres, playoff-type competition out there. Tonight was a good game, though, by him. Do you think, or is there some places where you think he's struggling in these type of games where it's, like, really intense, where he has to pick it up defensively? I think he's doing okay in these type of games. Oh,
no, I mean, I throw every dollar we've just about got at him at the end of the day. Okay. I mean, leading the league in three-point shooting, and he takes a lot of them. I mean, he was only 3 for 7. He only had 4 assists and 3 rebounds. His job is not to light up the scoreboard from a quantity standpoint. It's the quality shots. I mean, you don't want to have to see a box score where Allen is out shooting Durant, Booker, and Beal, I feel. But you do. But when you see him shooting 50% on, like, you know, 4 for 8 or 5 for 10, those are backbreakers every time he's hitting them. And the ability of the Suns' big three to take so much pressure and just give Allen those wide open shots. Plus, I do think that tradable contracts are going to be extremely important for this team in the future. So any player that we have the opportunity to re-sign for something more than a minimum contract is an automatic yes for me.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know. And like John Chan says, Seth Logan Hopkins says, keep Allen. It's just money, right, Ishbia? That's the way I think. It's just money, right? It is always funny.
We're so used to the owner who shall not be named, Bobby, as I knew him.
Bobby.
Bobby, we almost thought that we kind of worked for him as fans. Like, oh, shoot. You know, we should probably try and sign this guy for a couple million less a year. It's a little bit more economical, as if it was our money. But now it's like we see Matt Ishbia. He's like, I just want to win, Suns fans. We're like, then throw every dollar you got at him, champ. Let's do this thing.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. It's absolutely going to happen. He can't have this good of a season. You let him walk. I don't care how much money it takes. I don't know if we'll be around next season, as you know, we'll talk about Puff Daddy and his stuff later. Right.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
All right. He hit 3 threes to start the game in the first quarter, but his shot was off. He did airball 3. It's just the fingers might be an issue. Obviously, shooting, he had a kind of rough night. Just 10 points, 7 assists, though, moving the ball. So, does it even matter? Because you come out of this game, you have like the one score in Kevin Durant. You have the help from the bench, looking pretty decent off the bench. I think they had 29 points off the bench, which isn't too bad. But you get in the surrounding guys really going offensively, and they're just moving the ball. Like, that's their main focus. So, I haven't heard your thoughts on Bradley Beal this year, really. So
I don't think anyone's had enough opportunity to really formulate thoughts on Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I think what I hear, he's going to have missed basically 40% of the regular season, even if he finishes the rest of the next 9 games out. That's how much he's going to be missing, and that's a significant amount of games. And I think we always knew he was the third best of the big three. And what I think I like that he's kind of turned a corner on is he's not going to lead the team in scoring most nights, and he probably won't be the number two. But if he wants to create, if he wants to attack and draw fouls, and if he wants to defend, hey, sign up for it. Like, you can be the star of that, because Durant and Booker are looking for those baskets, and they're going to try and do that. We need a star that's willing to sacrifice a little bit of their game. And that's what Beal has spoke about, that everyone needs to look a little bit inside. And Beal, and even Vogel's mentioned that recently, Beal's taken it upon himself to be much more of a locked in defender. And I think that rubs off. You know, as soon as Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges and, you know, the Suns team, I'm thinking the ones that went to the finals against the Bucks, when that team was really locked in, you saw a very locked in Devin Booker on defense because it rubs off. It's a lot easier to put in that extra effort when your whole team is doing so. The first few years when we were winning, you know, 20 games in a season, you didn't see Booker locking in on defense because why? You know, like your individual exhaustion was not going to win the game because you just didn't have the talent. Now, if everyone can buy in, then you might have something. But I think we still need to see a little bit more on the defensive side from the big three. But like I said, Durant, strong defensive game tonight, and Beal is willing to do it. And, you know, I'm hearing maybe Booker's kind of nursing something, and that's why he's not really exhausting himself on the defensive end. I mean, he seems like he's playing not as effectively on defense as he has the previous couple of seasons, or is it just me?
He's just so up and down this whole year. I don't know. He's the player that he will be hurt. You don't know. And he'll have like a few good games. No, fucking great games where you're just like, dude, who is this? Like, is it MJ, whatever. And all of a sudden for the next few weeks, he's just normal book back to his old self, but he puts up the stats. He puts up the effort when he wants to, if he's not hurt, but I don't know what's going on with that. I did see something. It was on Twitter. I'm always bad with who it was. Did mention something about like a leg injury or something like that. Is that what you're speaking of? Are we just spreading like false info right now? Fake news shit.
Well, I think Suns Twitter's hoping that there's something to explain it and it's not a lack of desire.
I mean,
you don't want him to pop his hammy again. 100%. We don't. But he can be a very good defender.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, 21 points tonight in the fourth quarter. I don't know. So I want to kind of get into the fourth quarter where this game seemed over though, right? I mean, you can't really look at like the 21 points. They only had the three turnovers in the fourth quarter, 9 points from the bench. So they continued on a pretty good trend. I know they had 24 in the third, 21 in the fourth. It's okay. It's just, I think this game was kind of over by 5 minutes left. Usually 5 minutes left when you're up by 15, I'm like, oh, it's still a game. You never know in the NBA. But it seemed like it was over. So I feel like that had something to do with it, right? It wasn't like, you can't look at the box score and be like, 21 points. Oh, here we go again. The fourth quarter struggles. Because they only had the three turnovers. Obviously, between Book and Bradley Beal tonight, they had seven turnovers. Sorry, I had the stats up and then they went away. Yep, six turnovers between the two. And then, of course, Durant had the eight. But it's a weird mix of them trying to figure things out. And then you have Bradley Beal and Devin Booker trying to spread the ball. And it just sometimes looks ugly. But tonight, I didn't notice the turnovers as much. Did you have the 16 total? Did you notice them as much? I know you mentioned the Kevin Durant ones, but were they just that bad? I feel like maybe towards the end of the game, they had a few. And then they went back and grabbed them back. Did you notice that? It's like they had a few. It's like, oh, here we go again. The Nuggets are going to take it and just go down the court. Here comes the momentum. It's going to swing towards the Nuggets' way. But they went and like took the ball back. So it's kind of a different turnover. It wasn't as exhausting to watch as a Suns fan, I feel like. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, they would make a mistake and then they'd sprint down and correct it, which is good to see because otherwise the game would have been a lot closer.
Yeah.
Just how we've seen it in the past where turnover, oh, shoot, okay, basket, we'll come back and we'll try and score. This looked more like, hey, quit trying to make this a game. But as we've seen, the Suns this year have been almost the worst. No, I think the worst fourth quarter offensive team, which is phenomenal to think about when you are a top five offense. So that must mean you are so productive in those first three quarters. And then you go ice cold and start turning the ball over in the fourth to still, to fall to worst in the league. I mean, it's crazy to think about. I don't understand it at all. There's too many veterans on this team to have like these kind of rookie mistakes because they're lazy passes a lot. They're, Durant towards the end of the game almost got another one picked off, whereas he just tried to throw it over to Booker, and they're both on the outside, the perimeter close to the, half court, and just kind of threw it. And you saw KCP try and run up and tip, and he wasn't able to. But that's the frustration, is that there's been enough trends of Suns blowing fourth quarter leads that I'm sure Malone's like, you know what? Hey, it's a minute and a half left. We're down 11. any other coach, any other team, except this Suns team, that coach probably would have said, you know what, starters come out, 9 games till the playoffs, rest up. We've lost this one. Instead, it's, hey, it's the Suns. Let's see if we can shake them a little bit. That's frustrating to watch. But, again, took care of business.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like from the start, too. It was like, oh, something's different about this team tonight. Like, you get that kind of feeling, like, going to the games, like, you can always feel them shoot around. Like, there's a different kind of energy. That they're going to come out, they're going to play hard. The outcome might not be a win, but, you know, they're going to put in the effort tonight. So, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Obviously, they know they got to turn it on now. I saw some pictures of them walking out of the hotel. Kevin Durant and Booker looked serious as all hell. They were, like, pissed off serious. I don't know what it was. Maybe they didn't get breakfast yet. I was like, oh, something's up with this team. But yeah, 29 points from the bench. I want to give a shout out to this guy.
From Indiana University, number 23, Air Gordon.
Yeah, the only player in the NBA that will take on Wimby at the at the rim and try to just lay it up against him. But Eric Gordon tonight, this is the most confident I've seen him look out there on the court. He hit that corner three. He had 10 points tonight, 2 for 5 from three. But the corner three he hit looked confident. He even, like, at the end of the game, he had a little pump fake from the three. And he kind of, like, nudged his head into the defender and then went by him to the rim. Don't remember the rest, if he finished it or not. Usually he doesn't, but I'm just saying, like, there was just, like, a different energy from him. He's kind of stepping it up in different ways. But the Suns got that from a lot of guys. Like, I feel like their bench really stood out tonight. Even, obviously, Thaddeus Young, we talked about Royce O'Neal tonight. I think the numbers weren't really there, 5 points from him. But you can just see them out there. He had the 7 rebounds, and Royce O'Neal did. But you can just see and feel them out there. Like, they seem like they've been playing for a couple seasons together tonight. So it was one of those games where I thought Bradley Beal, with his finger injury, I was like, maybe he won't even play the second half, really. But I'm like, you know what? KD and Book can probably finish this game off with the bench and the way these guys are playing around them. Even Eubanks. Like, I'm not going to play the drops for all of them, but I think it was a solid, solid effort from the bench tonight, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, and it's thank goodness, right? I mean, I think we're going to see some Royce, Gordon, and Bol Bol coming off the bench. I don't think we're going to go super deep in the playoffs. I mean, you don't have, the big three and not play them 40-plus minutes a game. And then you got Grayson Allen, the top three-point shooter in the game. He's going to be playing a ton of minutes. So it's basically, you know, when Nurk gets a little tired. I think we probably won't see Thad. We might go 9 deep and play some Eubanks in the playoffs. But, you know, I think that's where it's going to be limited to. But, the guys that you're mentioning, Royce, Thad, and Eric Gordon, are all veterans. And it wasn't kind of young guys trying to prove themselves as we had earlier in the season. So I think they've got a much stronger mentality when they're playing the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Eric Gordon reminds me of, like, the guy that you play pickup basketball with at the YMCA that just, like, he's probably a little overweight and he's older and he chucks deep threes, but he's always doing, like, he's always telling you you're short, your shots are short, and he's always trying to get in your head, and he's always doing, like, the head bob thing. Yeah. And it's hilarious because he just does not have the athleticism he thinks he did when he was in high school, because he's like 45 and overweight. Like, that's Eric Gordon. That's the equivalent. He's got that dad bod, and if he was maybe 6 inches taller, he should be taking it to the rack, but he's not, and he still thinks he's a young man. And what's crazy is he's what, like, early 30s, I think.
Yeah,
maybe 35. Like,
yeah, that's older than him. Yeah,
yeah, in NBA years, that man is an old man. And so
yeah, I think
it works. I prefer him sitting back shooting threes than ever taking it to the basket. He always looks like he gets laid out too, and they almost never call a foul on the
player. Does he even draw the foul though? I feel like he's so bad at drawing the foul. Like, every time he's about to go up, the ball's already tipped out of his hands.
He's got shorter arms too. So, like, I guess against the average NBA defender. But he looks like he's got T-Rex arms out there, right? So, like, it's like, why are you taking a town to the basket and you're
stop
just
doing it?
And he tries to throw it up, and it's like, Eric, that's why you sit 5 feet behind the 3-point line and nobody ever blocks your shot. Don't think that you should take it into the teeth of the defense. Beal can do that. Beal is stout. Beal guards Zion on certain nights. So, yeah, I don't know. I it makes me nervous when Gordon does that kind of stuff. But, like you said, he did have a poise tonight. It's good to see. And he's really, for better or worse, he's the leader of that bench unit.
Yeah. No, yeah, he is. You said nine deep, though. So does that exclude this guy?
Up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane! It's...
Boom, boom, motherfucker.
Bobo was awesome tonight. 5 rebounds, 8 points, in only fucking 12 minutes, but we still got a win. So he did play center last game. I kind of missed him, missed part of the game, but him playing next to Thad looked good. Him playing next to Eubanks looks good. I think a solid performance. Do you think we still roll with him in the playoffs? Did we play him the 12 minutes he's averaging right now as a Sun?
No, but maybe 8.
Durant, I'm not going to get my 22 getting, minutes a game.
You know, like, 40, 41. Bol Bol can come in and play 7 or 8. Again, enough to have Durant rest a little bit, drink some water, stay hydrated out there. because I think I don't really want to see Drew Eubanks much in the playoffs. I know he's been playing a little bit better.
He's been playing good.
Yeah, he has.
I don't really want to talk about it.
No. I mean, like I said, I think tonight he's did a decent job trying to stay in front of Joker. But I really want to see him limited in the playoffs. I think the only reason he's going to get time is because we don't have another 5. You're not going to put Bol Bol at the 5. And so because maybe Durant has been playing more, better at defense and rebounding more. I mean, 13 rebounds tonight, a double digit rebound performance is not something we usually always see with KD. I could certainly see a Bol Bol Durant lineup out there. I could see Bol Bol getting 10 minutes, in the playoffs on a run, especially it's going to depend on how much, who the matchup is. Do we need somebody with a little bit more weight to him? Probably Joker. If we're matched up against the Nuggets, probably going to be more of a Eubanks type situation. Otherwise, we could go a little leaner and Bol Bol will stretch to the defense more.
Yeah, Bol's ready. He's ready for the playoffs. I think he's going to play huge minutes. I think tonight he grabbed some boards tonight that no one else can. He's given us some opportunities on the floor to where we can continue to go on our run, stretch our run of 12 points whenever we're fucking hitting from the other side. He's just the guy that does that, man. And he needs to get his minutes. I just don't know. I'm sick of talking about it. I won't get my 22 minutes a game, and it's fine. It's all right. So, did you have any more thoughts on the game? I think we kind of hit everything. Was there anything in your notes? Did you take notes? Did you write some notes?
I wasn't taking a ton of notes.
No, I didn't take a ton of notes either. Obviously, you can tell.
No. I think Royce O'Neal. We didn't talk that much about him except that we kind of liked what the bench did. But, 5 points, 7 rebounds, couple assists. I thought he was playing pretty solid defense. The defense overall, I feel like the closeout on three-point shooting, I don't have the team stats in front of me, so maybe you do. But here I go. I just had to switch it over. Is this the team stats? 3-point shots. Nuggets 10 for 40, 25%. Suns 16 for 33, 48.5%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's probably the explanation for the win tonight. They went ice cold. Nuggets did 25% from three. We shot 23.5% better than them.
That's
out on their shooters and us putting the ball in the basket.
I'll be honest, closeouts were good, but this is the NBA. These guys can make any. It doesn't matter if it's a dumpster or a fucking garbage truck in front of them. They're going to fucking hit a 3 over a garbage truck. I'm a big believer in, rotation.
Obviously, when makes it really hard to make.
He does make it difficult, obviously. But I'm just saying there's some threes tonight. Michael Porter Jr. missed some big threes where I thought we'd get him right back in the game. He'll hit those, obviously, in a playoff series where it'll get them back into the game and they can cruise to a victory. But tonight they missed those ones. I think the Suns played the best defense they can and the best defense they played in a while. But it's just
going from where we were in that Celtics game where they just blistered from deep.
Both those games. Celtics and who was it?
Focusing of the perimeter defense and without Nurkic to guard down low, we weren't wrecked in the post closing out on shooters. So to me, it's just, it's one of those little things that it doesn't show up in the stats all the time, but I think it was a strong perimeter defensive performance. Because we had Drew Eubanks. So if we're playing you that tight on the perimeter drive, I mean, Drew does block a couple shots every now and then, but like, you know, you would think that the Joker could do more damage down low, and they just weren't able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you would think that. That's the way the NBA is. It's always like, hey, we're going to this matchup, you should probably dominate. No, it never happens. It always happens opposite. Always. I don't know what that is. So, all right, well, let's do this thing.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
My God, this wig just knocks over everything.
The Turtles.
Oh, I don't have my sunglasses. I'm just...
The Denver Turtles.
Wait, what is that, dude?
I can't do that. That was supposed to be Shredder from the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, Shredder. My bad, yeah. Dude. I'm sorry. Turtles. You want to continue with the Shredder?
You can't do it. No.
No?
Well, because Uncle Phil voiced him in the cartoon. I can't go that low.
I had no idea. I had no idea, man. Is that guy Pluto too? Oh.
No. At this point, I know what the fans want. It's what I want. I want that Valley girl, but representing Denver tonight.
Damn. Yeah. Well, I don't have my glasses, so it's so embarrassing right now. I'm just sipping on some wine and some sun. So what do they say in Denver? I got scalped, as you can tell. It looks like I got scalped. Is that what it looks like? And then my scalp put back on.
You're just, it's like so braiding, creepy. You're braiding it on the side.
Yeah, it looks. It looks like I'm the lead singer of Tool or something. Like that's what
it does. Like. You do look a little bit more like a burnt out rocker.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Literally like burnt.
Sure to
like,
buy my new album. I've got a lot of new songs you guys have never heard before, and I'll force
this
you.
This is our final tour. Yeah, this is our retirement tour, whatever they call it. All right, so anyways, I really hope we win tonight, as the Phoenix Suns are pure evil, maybe the most evil team in the association. They might be. I'm sure they have some running with the Kardashians and shit, some demonic shit there, if that's what they're talking about. I don't know what they're talking about. Nice. I don't know what this means. Nice. Sorry. Nice mother of the bride outfit from Nurkic. What does that mean?
Mother of the bride outfit
from Nurkic? I don't know what that
is. I'll be honest, I didn't see what Nurk was wearing.
He was just wearing his jersey, I thought. Nurkic? Unless he like walked in the arena. Did he walk in the arena, Jamsters, with something?
We're talking about our Nurk, right? Yusuf, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Was Yusuf there? I didn't even know he traveled.
Oh, I guess I don't know. Honestly, I thought they were talking about Jokic when I read that. So anyways, I lost brain cells watching this shit. Yeah, a lot of the Nuggets fans just had they had it. They just can't take this anymore. The bench better not be invited to the parade this year. So the bench has been struggling lately. That's not good. Why are we doing this to ourselves? And more importantly, why am I doing this to myself? That's so stupid. As a nut, come on, you guys won the.
You guys won the title last year.
You won the championship, and you're number one seed.
Exactly. We're not doing shit. If the Suns win the title this year or whenever, I'm gonna coast on that for a decade.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. I still talk about a Super Bowl that the New Orleans Saints won like 15 years ago, as if we never needed to win another one. Because Suns fans, when you win one, that's all you need in life to validate all of your years of fandom. So that's what I'm here for. Give me one Suns title. But Nuggets fans, oh, I can't even do it with this team. You guys are the defending champs. You are the number one seed. There should be no complaining.
There should not. But you know what's funny is like when we do win. I bet you we're going to be the same exact way. We think, because the Nuggets, this is the first time they ever won. You would think we'd be the same way, but I bet you anything, it's going to be the same thing. The expectations will be even higher. So we can say that now. I feel like we're going to be that way next year.
I think it's that 10 years of terribleness under Sarver to close it out that really we're still like adjusting to being a good team. So we swing high with the wins and very low on the lows when we lose. And so, yeah, I think that's a fair point, actually. I could see us winning and us, like, just not quite knowing how to handle it.
Hold on. So I was wondering if anybody really jerked off watching me, but I think we got someone right here. Keep going, list bag. All right, I'm almost done. So staying up till 6 a.m. over, these aren't even good comments, man. You do a better job. Staying up till 6 a.m. overseas for this shit. Oh my God, I can't believe it's certainly a choice. All right, that's it.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
All right.
Take a lap.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah. Well, you're all like, right. These aren't even good comments. Come on, Matthew.
Yeah, I know. They were okay. Yeah. They were kind of last minute, not going to lie. Well, I apologize. You know, sometimes... Sometimes you got to live your life too while watching the game. So
that's right.
Shout out to Biscuits and the Bear, $7. Thank you very much. Suns now 1-4 without Nurk. Woot woot. Would you have Thad come off the bench or Eubanks or versus Eubanks? So it's, I'll just answer really quick. I'm thinking because we're just now seeing Thad and we're like, oh my God, there's something there. I think we do this with a lot of guys off the bench, but it's hard, dude, because Eubanks has been pretty good lately. His stats like, what was it, five rebounds, 4 points or something tonight, like he usually averages. Mm-hmm. But he looks better. He's finishing at the rim. He's in better position defensively. He's kind of more of a menace. Not saying he's great, but he's better than before. But who would you choose?
Right now, when we picked up Thad, I thought I would probably end up hoping to see Thad more. In the limited time we have seen him, I've realized that Suns players that we pined for 5 years ago are not the same, kind of like Eric Gordon. And Thad looks like a guy that's playing his last year or two in the NBA. So he's just a little stiff and, you know, he's got the fundamentals down and he can give you, it's, if he's the, you know, was it break glass in case of an emergency type guy, I feel very comfortable with that because he's a guy that, oh shoot, you know, he's probably going to be fine. You know, if we have to go that route, but Drew's going to be able to actually body up some people with a little bit more size. And so, yeah, I think as frustrated as I've been with Drew's up and down season, and that we had to, tamper to get him, you know, I'd still say that, I'd probably
seem worth it.
Expect more, yeah. Beginning. Expect more from Drew.
Yeah, in the beginning, it was worth it when they were asking Kevin Durant in the post game interviews about his play. Like, yeah, dude, we knew what we were getting. And then after that, it was kind of over. I remember when I wanted him to start over Nurk. That was crazy. That seemed like forever ago. So, anyways,
I feel like that's always the classic case: backup quarterbacks, backup centers for this. You know, everyone loves the backup center. Jock Landale.
Yes.
We love Rashawn Holmes.
I love that. Baines, backup quarterback. Yeah, they come in and you're like, oh, wait, never mind.
No, exactly. Like if you are the starting center on the Suns team, we're always frustrated with you no matter what. We always think that backup at some point in the season might.
Yeah. I think I love Nurk this year 100 times more than anything I've seen from Aiden over the, except for that playoff run. But I've loved Nurk this year. I feel like been pretty consistent, right?
It's amazing to see a double-digit rebounder consistently at the five.
20 rebounds. Yes. Like multiple games. It's crazy.
Yes. Nurkic, for this system, has been absolutely phenomenal. I do not think Aiden could have replicated what Nurk has done.
And
I don't think we would have won more games if Aiden had been on this team, for example. I mean, granted, he would not have got frozen and locked inside of his own house in Phoenix like he did in Portland, had to miss a game. So, you know, there's that. But.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I think really quick, Aiden's stats, like, it's kind of like what Mikhail did last year, the Mickey Mouse March, they call it, shout out to No Dunks, where it's just like, they call it that because usually teams by now, they know where they're at in the seedings and stuff, and everyone kind of regresses, or they just kind of let loose a little bit. It's not the same as a regular season, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of explained that terribly, but
you're trying to stay healthy and get ready for the.
Yeah, kind of. So these other guys are kind of going off that normally don't. All right. So like, subscribe, rate, review. If you're watching right now, please. We're going to go ahead and do the jam start.
Jam star of the game.
All right. Who you got?
Who do you have? You know,
Yapsters, everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to, because I don't think he's ever going to get another opportunity. I'm going to go Thad Young tonight.
Yeah.
Again, okay. 17 quality minutes, good defense while he was out there. Couple of assists, 9 rebounds, 6 points, 3-on-4 shooting. Hey, Thad Young, you enjoy that jam star tonight.
All right, I'm going to join you with it.
Ooh,
I'm gonna do it too. Let me do it too, because I thought it was fucking solid, dude. He looked crazy out there, man, but he fucking was solid. I loved his game tonight. Obviously, we'll give it to KD, I think, right? Or no? No, I'll think with that. Probably
do more of it in the chat. Yeah, I mean, the guy put in 30.
Okay.
I always get nervous with myself on Suns Planet, for example, when I don't recognize greatness while it's there. The Durant's performances, the Booker performances need to have that, recognition when we have a consistently high scoring effort like we have with Durant with 30 points. So probably Durant, but you know, that's never going to get another shot.
No, he might not. Yeah, he might not. All right. So it doesn't look like a lot of Jamsters out there really commented on who they like for Jamstar, but Seth Logan Hopkins does say GA because only consistent force game in, game out. Definitely. He's probably the MVP of the year, honestly. If you're going to ask me one guy who's the MVP, it'd probably be Grayson Allen. I think he's the only reason I feel like we're probably above 500, right? Or no?
I would certainly say most consistent.
Most consistent.
The fact is he's been leading the league in three-point shooting all year? Close to all year.
Yeah, I think he kind of fell off. I forget who. Someone, Jamsters, there was somebody that took over for like a minute, right? I think it was like last week, I thought he was like, oh, Darth Voida. In bed, I don't know what he's doing, but Thaddy O Young, chilling, watching Jam Session, or what is this podcast name? Okay, I'm had 2 glasses of wine tonight, and I never drink. All right, Jam Session podcast, everybody. is there anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here? I know we're at the 52 minute mark. Usually, we'll probably do like a, I don't know, anything else you got.
Well, I think so. Let me ask you this. So we beat the defending champs tonight in Denver. Very quality win. I don't care with or without Jamal Murray. Anytime you take down the champs, good shot. Got the Thunder coming up on Friday.
Yep. I was going to ask you what you think. Mm-hmm. So Friday and then Monday. Who do we got Monday?
Monday is the Pelicans.
Okay. So, but yeah, your thoughts on the Thunder.
And the Cavs just lost to the Wizards.
I'm not too worried about the Cavs. No, the Hornets, but
I think. Yeah, they just got embarrassed. And I was kind of thinking to myself, okay, the 10 games, while this game was going on, the 10 games left, what does the Suns record need to be to reinstill in you confidence that we could compete for a title? Not necessarily win, but that all of a sudden you say, you know what? Does the record have to be?
So going into the Spurs game, I thought 7-4, finishing out the last 7 games, 7-4. Would be it. So now they're 1-1. I mean, after last game, I wanted them to actually cruise by the Spurs. And then I'd be like, you know what? This team is it, right? They care. But obviously after last game, I didn't think that. But to finish out, if they go 6-4, I'm okay with that. What about you? Oof. I think that's pretty good.
No, I mean, 6-4 is it's more wins than losses. I think because that Spurs game left me just so confused with why we can't get up for a game against the worst team in the West without their best player. To me, if you want me to sit there and say, you know what, we are dangerous again, we have a shot to win the whole thing, I'd say with this win tonight, I still want to see us go for the final 10 games, 8-2.
Okay.
I think it's got to be an 8-2 run. And I know it's a gauntlet. And so if we went 8-2, that would say a lot. Maybe 7-3, I think, would maybe 6-4, 5-5, I'd be frustrated. I would just think, man, I just don't know if we can get out of that second round. Hopefully we get out of the first round. Anything worse, 5-5 or worse, I mean, it's panic mode, right? I mean, like, if we went 4-6 and like limped into the play-in.
It depends how competitive it is. I think if they're competitive games, then there's something there. This team has it in them. Like you said, 8-2, they have that in them. So yeah, if I see that, then obviously I'm more confident. But if they go 6-4, I'm okay with that. I still think they have a chance to at least get to the Western Conference Finals, maybe pass the first round. But who knows, man? I know next game is going to be a totally different story. That's the way it is this year.
Yeah.
But you know what, Seth, Logan Hopkins, before we get out of there, I feel like this happens a lot from you, Seth. Thank you very much. Right before the finish line, $19.99 donated. Love this show. Y'all the best. And the best guest host, Jake. Oh, that's so sweet, isn't it? That's so nice.
100%. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I think that's all we have. We don't have a deep roster like in Sunny. We just, it's always Sunny. They don't have deep roster. We have you and Suns. That's all we need. We go four deep. There we go. Four deep that's at right. Such a podcast. That's good.
I forget that you and I both have that fascination with Always Sunny, because yeah, as soon as you said we just don't have a deep bench, you know, yeah. I know exactly the episode you're thinking of, and I can't keep running with that analogy because it gets worse, of course, as so much of that episode does, of saying things you're not supposed to say. But you know, it'd be nice to win an award. That's what I know from that episode, you know. Be nice to win an industry award.
That's all we got. I think we got that's not John, that's my mom. All right, well
I will tell you this.
I think what's up.
Oh yeah. Sorry. We were talking backup Sun centers. And I saw somebody had mentioned, hey, go old school Patty Burke. Well, if you checked out Suns Planet, Suns fans.
Oh, yeah.
He had the Patty Burke on for St. Patrick's Day. And I think that might be a bit of an evergreen episode. You know, it's worth going back because he totally startled the heck out of me after I told him three times how the show would go. And then I turned right to him and said, so how do you think the Suns did this week? And he goes, oh, I don't watch the games anymore. So we just kind of pivoted decided not to really talk much about the games on that episode.
And, have you heard about our Lord and Savior Christ? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Patty Burke talking about, you know, what it was like with the 7 seconds or less Suns. He didn't think we were as close as maybe I think some of the Suns fans did. And his takes on Coach D'Antoni were interesting in the team overall. So I invite people, especially that second half of that episode, check that out on Suns Planet Pod. It was certainly a fun one. We've got some other cool guests coming up. We're going to Paraguay coming up soon, and we've done some good stuff. I know I saw Juan Carlos in the chat from Chile, and he's probably very proud that you were drinking a red wine tonight, Lissy. He turned me on to Chilean Carmenere wine, which
That sounds expensive. This was $6 from Trader
Joe's. Oh no, it was like $7, but man, it was good. Yeah. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. So no, be sure to check us out, and I think we're going to be having some more special guests come on, especially as we ramp up for the playoffs. So it should be some fun.
Yeah, giving us some competition with those guests. I'm like, oh, they got Pat Burke. Who is our best guest? Not like a host. John, who do we have on? Nobody. I don't think.
Hey.
It might be because of me. Anyways, Jamsters, we ask EJ all the time. He never comes on for some reason. I don't know why. Now he's on PHNX. I have no idea why. But
you go. Boyd has got it. Shout out to the man.
Dave King. Dave. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking like not a non-host, like a non-co-host, just like a guest. You know what I mean? But anyways, everybody, thanks for joining. Suns win. We will see you Friday night. It should be 7:30. Yeah, they play at 5. 7:30 Arizona time. Join us again live. John should be here. I should be here. I think that's all I got. So everyone go home and love your family.